thinking of parts of the animal that we don't yet have direct evidence of, the most obvious parts are the legs. At the moment, we have a kneecap and a small fragment of one leg bone. But we would really like to find more of the limbs, both the forelimbs and the hind limbs. There are, of course, also ribs and vertebrae that we don't have, so there are multiple things that we're looking for. So unraveling what really happened here will be greatly aided by more evidence from an undisturbed portion of the site, and we're hoping to get that when we come back. This animal was a victim, probably, of a battle with another mammoth. We say that because the season of death is right in the season when we know that this sort of mating activity took place. And we know that because of studies of other specimens, some of which have more obvious signs of having been done in by a battle between giants of this sort. It turns out that once we sort of had that idea confirmed on this specimen, we looked more closely at its tusks and found that there's fresh impact near the tip of this left tusk, which really make it look like his tusks and the tusk of another animal were clashing, parrying blows, and so we think there's quite direct, explicit evidence of that sort of interaction preserved on the real specimen here. Looking over the full range of the history of human interaction with mammoths and mastodons in this part of the world, we have, I think, multiple examples of two different ways in which humans procured the carcasses of these animals. One is that they actively hunted them. The other is that they sometimes were able to procure a carcass of an animal that was a victim of some other mishap. In fact, I would say most of the cases of human interaction with these animals do involve active hunting. I think the classic weaponry that we can associate with these people on the basis of the archaeological record of stone tools preserved from these time periods would be this composite spear thrown with a spear thrower. It's always possible that such spears were also used directly to thrust, but by and large, they're a long distance weapon that's designed to be used and yet give the person some safety of distance from the target of the hunting activity. If we try to think about what this discovery has given us in the way of new understanding about humans and animals like this interacting, living in this part of the world, I think the most important thing is that mammoths, particularly mammoths like the one encountered here, are not all that common in the Great Lakes region. Mastodons are much more common. And so this site gives us one more in really just a handful of sites that tell us very much, one more case of mammoths as an animal that had some interaction with humans. I think one takeaway that we'd like visitors to acquire even from this exhibit in the Ruthven Museum is that Michigan has a long history. People have been here a long time, and they've been subsisting on resources from this area well before any of the Europeans coming into this area, even well before the Native American inhabitants that we know and recognize as the first inhabitants of this region that we know about directly.